This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled, Why Did Jesus Come?, was delivered on December 1st, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chaplain Frank.
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead, ushers.
Oh, I forgot that part. Just stay here.
That's good.
That's good?
No. Yes. You know why it's raining, right? I washed my car yesterday. one of you must have sprayed poison yesterday, right? Who was it? Yeah, that is the guys who washed their car and the guys who sprayed poison. It's on us, that's why it's raining. But it's so beautiful. Christmas, it's so much cooler. It's so much easier to sleep. You don't have to sleep with two fans on and, you know, the air conditioning going all night. It's just so beautiful. The Christmas lights and, you know, the smell of Christmas trees. How many of you got your Christmas trees up and it's in your house? And Randy, did you got your Christmas tree with your Chinese food tradition? And good job. And Randy Sr. is back from Missouri. Welcome back home. He had a great harvest. He planted a whole bunch of soybeans and all kinds of other things. And we were praying that you'd make it back by Thanksgiving, and you did. And your wife must be so happy. And we're just grateful that you're back. Whew, what a beautiful time of year. I enjoy it. It wasn't always like that. There's a season that I was Mr. Scrooge, but it's just no matter what. You know, how's our any Hilo High alumni? How's that football team, huh? Woo! That kid got a leg, 55 yards. I bet you all that opened up. Did anybody know if that was on ESPN? Because it should have been, right? I mean, 55 yards as time expires, bounces off the crossbar and goes in. Did anybody not see that? Man, and then our UH football team. Yes. Man, it's like, if you're not a New England fan, then you got something else to cheer for. Right? Maybe you're a 49er fan, or I think it's going to be the Patriots and the Niners, Joe against James in the Super Bowl. But it's a great time of year. Enjoy it. Don't get caught up in all the worldly things and get stressed out, but just enjoy it. You know, it as I was praying and then I was thinking about what am I going to talk about in December. You know, I think it was good that I talk about why did Jesus come, because hopefully it'll answer questions for all of us that we can share with people who don't come to church, who don't understand anything about Jesus, that we can kind of explain to them why he came. And if you look at our world today, you know, in spite of all the technology we have, you know, FaceTime and, you know, all the technological advances, the social programs, you know, it's a world that is ripped apart by strife, murder, moral breakdown of the highest magnitude, wars, rumors of wars, broken homes, divorce, child abuse, spouse abuse. And we can go on and on and on and on about how this world is falling apart. The Israeli-Arab dispute continues without resolve. Pollution, the threat of nuclear holocaust, and the destruction of mankind still looms over our heads. And yet, with all the technology, we're helpless to solve these problems. People devise human social programs, reforms, and solutions, but the problems doesn't seem to go away. And not only do they continue, but they seem to be increasing as the Bible warns. In 2 Timothy 3:13, it says, "But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." We cannot expect false teachers and evil people to reform and change on their own. Left alone, they will go from bad to worse. So why did Jesus come? Number one, the fulfillment of prophecy. From the beginning, from the book of Genesis and through the Bible, scriptures tell of the coming of the Messiah. In Luke 1:35, the angels answered and said to her, and the angel was talking about Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child should be called the Son of God." That was, the angel was telling Mary that she was going to be with child, and she was going to give birth to the Son of God. In Matthew 2:4-6, "Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" When the person of Messiah comes on the scene, is there some way we can clearly identify him? You know, for you and I, how can we know that he is the right one and not an imposter? Because the Bible said many will come in his name. Someone who ends up, how can we know that he is here and not someone who's an imposter and someone who's going to be like a Hitler or the beast described in Revelation 13? How can we know this is Jesus of the New Testament? How can we know that he is the deliverer to whom we are to look? This morning, I really hope to show you scriptures that would point to the coming of Jesus. The scriptures not only promise the Messiah, but it does so in such a way that we can precisely identify him. And this for us is an important point, because many have arisen who have claimed to have the answers to society, whether political or social. And the Bible warns us that many more will arise. So how then can we identify this one whom the scripture speaks? You know, if you just imagine for a moment that you have this important package. You are a courier, and you have this valuable, highly classified document which cannot fall into the wrong hands. So, you know, maybe you're like a James Bond, and you gotta give this document to this specific person. You never seen this person before. So how can you recognize this person and be sure that once you meet them that they are the right person? So one way we can do that is having some marks of identification. And the more marks of identification, the better it is. The gender. He is short, tall. It's a male or female, right? The color of the hair, complexion, meeting locations, specifics of what they're going to wear, password. And the more you get, the more information you get, the better chance of passing that document on to the right person, right? So the Bible has done precisely this. It has given us dozens of ways to identify that promised deliverer, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior, Jesus Christ. From the beginning in Genesis, it was promised to the seed of Abraham. The Old Testament prophecy, Genesis 22:18. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham received abundant blessings because he obeyed God. And God promised to give Abraham's descendants the ability to conquer their enemies. In addition to that, God promised Abraham's children and grandchildren would in turn bless the whole earth. Okay, so the fulfillment of this prophecy comes in Matthew 1:1. The record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, okay, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Jesus, the Savior of the world, came through the genealogy of Abraham, and that is the fulfillment of the prophecy written way back in Genesis 22. So it was fulfilled. What was written in Genesis 22:18 was fulfilled in Matthew 1:1. That was one of the marks of identifying Jesus. The next one, out of the tribe of Judah, the Old Testament prophecy comes in Micah 5:2. But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. In Micah 5:2, there is a prophecy that reveals that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the Messiah, as pointed out in this book. Okay? All and throughout the span of the past 27 centuries, from the days of the prophet Micah up to the present time, Bethlehem is credited as being the birthplace for only one person who is widely known throughout the world. Okay? And that person is Jesus Christ. The New Testament fulfillment in Matthew 2:6. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, of Judah, are by no means the least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Okay? So this is another mark of the birth of Christ and why he had to come. Okay? Out of the tribe of Judah. Yeah, and it was prophesied long before he came. And he was born in Bethlehem. Okay? Now the third one, born in the family of Jesse. Remember Jesse? That was David's dad. The Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah 11:1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. In Isaiah 11:1-10, the prophet Isaiah speaks of a ruler who would be a descendant of Jesse. Jesse was the father of Israel's great King David. This descendant would rule with true justice and true faith, and he would establish true peace. This peace would be so great that even wild animals will lie down next to one another. This descendant would also become a standard for people throughout the world. And this descendant would be sought by people throughout the world. And that's true because we all seek out Jesus. This is an important prophecy for you and I because we believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of this Old Testament promise. And Jesus, as explained in the New Testament, is a descendant of Jesse. And Jesus has become a standard for people throughout the world. In fact, they say Christianity is the first religion to spread to every country in the world. The word of Jesus, which speaks true justice, true faith, true peace, have been taught to people in every country in the world. And you and I, as Christians, also believe that Jesus will return in the future to establish a kingdom on earth, a kingdom of justice and righteousness. So the fulfillment of this New Testament fulfillment comes in Luke 23 to 32, and I'm not going to read you the whole thing because it's long, and I'm going to read you parts of it. When he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Eli. And then if you go all the way down to verse 32, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nahshon. So it's a fulfillment that he is in the bloodline of Jesse, the father of the great King David. Okay? So as you can see, all these are markers pointing to the birth of Jesus. And sometimes I don't understand, you know, the scribes, the Pharisees, who were the Sadducees that was living in the New Testament, they had this Old Testament things, these prophecies, and they seen what had happened when Jesus was born, but they just didn't get it. Everything was pointing to Jesus, but they just didn't get it. Number four, born in Bethlehem, the Old Testament prophecy, again, from Micah 5:2. But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth from long ago, from the days of eternity. Ephrathah was a district in which Bethlehem was located. And this ruler, Jesus, the Messiah, Micah accurately predicted Christ's birthplace hundreds of years before Jesus was born. The promised eternal king in David's line, who had come to live as a man, had been alive forever, whose origins are from the distant past. Although eternal Christ entered this world, human history, as a man, as a baby, Jesus of Nazareth. So the prophecy in Micah 5:2, the New Testament fulfillment, is in Luke 2:47. As you remember, Joseph had to go back, yeah? He had to go back to his hometown to register for the census. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for her in the inn. We all know that story, right? And that was part of the prophecy of where Jesus was going to be born. And number five, born of a virgin. The Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. In Isaiah 7:14, the prophet addresses the house of David, meaning the family and descendants of King David, who is Jesse, David, and so on, and speaks of a virgin being pregnant with a child and giving birth to this child. And Isaiah says in this context of it being a sign from God. He also said that the child would be referred to as Emmanuel, which means God with us. The New Testament books of Matthew and Luke record details involving the birth of Jesus, who was born about 700 years after the time of Isaiah, saying that he was born of the Virgin Mary and is a son of God. And because he is a son of God, Jesus literally can be referred to as God with us. And that's how they got Emmanuel. And the New Testament fulfillment of this prophecy comes in Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, you know, that's an expression, they just kind of really made it PG. Before they lay together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. That's the prophecy of Isaiah 14. And then the last one I want to share with you, their flight to Egypt. The Old Testament prophecy comes from Hosea. All these different prophets in the Bible spoke about this. I mean, and they were from different times. How could this be? Hosea 11:1. When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The New Testament fulfillment was in Matthew 2:13-15. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up. Now this is not the Joseph of the Old Testament. This is Joseph, Mary's future husband. Okay? Appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child, his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Herod was killing all the kids because he was trying to find Jesus. So the angel spoke to Joseph, said, go to Egypt. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother, and while it was still night, and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. And this was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord to the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. So when Herod died and the threat of killing the boys, the male boys, went away, God called him back out of Egypt, which fulfills Hosea 11:1. And out of Egypt, I called my son. See, all these, and there is so much more scriptures than this that point to the prophecy of the coming of our Messiah. And he had to come. It was prophesied that he would come. But he came. Why did he come? To save you and I. The scriptures point to Jesus. There is no dispute about that. And that is why you and I, we can celebrate Christmas. We can celebrate the birth of Christ. And we can do that with confidence because all these markers are indication of that one person who is to come, who is to be the Messiah. That's how, if you were a courier and you need to take a document to somebody, you gotta have these markers, these identification points. Male, female, short, tall. You know, what they're wearing, identification. All these scriptures and many more point to the birth of Jesus Christ. So when we say Merry Christmas, we can say that with confidence because we know that you and I, we celebrate Christmas because we know with confidence that we are celebrating the birth of the Christ, the one who the Bible points to coming. From the line of Jesse to being born in Bethlehem to coming out of Egypt to being born of a virgin. Nobody else meets every one of these criteria. So we celebrate with confidence the birth of our Lord and Savior because we know that He is the one. Amen? Amen. Are you ready for Christmas? So when somebody tells you happy holidays, what do you tell them? You got it. Somebody told me that the other day. I said, don't you dare take Christ out of Christmas. I said that out of love, though. So when you celebrate, just celebrate with confidence, knowing that Jesus is the one and that we celebrate this because we know with confidence that the Bible points to Him. Pastor Aaron is going to lead us in communion. And you know, communion is a good thing. It's a good thing to do on Thanksgiving. It's a good thing to do on Christmas morning because it reminds us of what Jesus did for us. So Pastor Aaron is going to take us through communion right now.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. Let's say thank you to Pastor Scott. He's always a gift that one of the gifts every Christmas I remember. I got it already. Thank you. That God gave Pastor Scott to us, and he's such a wonderful leader. We have a wonderful church, yeah? Well, we are going to take communion, and like Pastor Scott said, you know, we often associate communion with Jesus Christ's body being broken and the blood that he shed. We associate it with Easter, and we don't all think about it during Christmas time, but Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me as often as you get together. And it is very appropriate to do it during Christmas time, because if you really think about it, you think about the life that Jesus led, okay? God sent his son to us, not as this great champion or this magnificent being. He sent him to us as a little baby, as simple as he could be, so that we could understand what eternity is really all about, what God's love is about for us. Think about it now. Jesus Christ grew up and lived just like we do. And he lived in a time when he was a Jew, and you saw the things that he had to go through. He had to actually escape and go to Egypt and then be brought back later on. But he was a Jew, and they were ruled, at that time the Jews were ruled by the Romans. So imagine, we grumble about politics. Can you imagine the politics that he went through? And then, not to mention, everywhere he went, he healed people, he loved people. He knew what he was going to do for them. And people treated him really badly. You think about it. Even in his hometown, they wanted to throw him off a cliff. You know, if you really think about it, if you were him, would you have gone to the cross for those people? Would you have given up your life for them after what they did to you? You know that I get to work for the Green Waste Recycling Company, and I work with a bunch of guys, and they blow me away when it comes to operating excavators and loaders and all that, $2 million worth of equipment. They're really, really good at it. But you know what they don't know what to do? Computers. And I eat them up there. Well, the other day, they did something to the printer where it disconnected and they couldn't send out the paperwork for the end of the day. So they call me. Aaron, we need your help. And every time I tell them how to fix them, and they just broke them again. You know what I was thinking? Nah, I'm not going to answer this call. I'm going to let them suffer. Thank God that Jesus Christ did not do that to us. Amen. And that's what we get to remember, that not only did he give up his life, he lived his life for us. And in the end, his body was broken and his blood shed because he loved us so much that he didn't want to spend eternity without us. And that's what we get to remember, not just in Easter, but in Christmas time too, that he was the gift that Jesus gave for our eternity. Amen? So it says that the night that before Jesus was crucified, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks and he handed it out and he said, this is my body that is broken for you. Take this in remembrance of me, the sake of the bread. And then he took the cup and in a likewise manner he said, this is my blood that is shed for the redemption of your sins. Let's drink of the juice. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And we never want to forget what you did for us that Christmas morning. You sent your only Son to be our ransom so that we could spend eternity with you. We want to remember how he lived, that he lived for us, and then he laid down his life for us so that we would have eternity and not be away from you, Lord. So we thank you and we praise you. We pray that we would live our lives in such a way that would show people how loving and wonderful and glorious you are. And we pray, Lord, that always your will be done. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, you can pass your cups down. The ushers will collect that. And as they do, would you stand with us? And let's sing before we go back out in the rain today.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.